It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Friday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on this TGIF. Thank goodness it's Friday. And I think if you're a conservative this morning, you're saying, thank goodness the Democratic National Convention is done. It's finished. Last night, Joe Biden formally nominated for the top of the ticket for the Democrats. And it's really interesting this morning. He is getting praise from several quarters for his speech last night. I think it was Chris Wallace thought it was a great speech because he didn't stumble. Now, Joe Biden was reading from a teleprompter, one would hope. And Chris Wallace goes to the point. He says, now Trump can't criticize Joe Biden anymore because Joe Biden was just so sharp last night in giving his, someone said, a 22-minute speech, reading from a teleprompter. So in Chris Wallace's mind, that ends any criticism of Joe Biden and his mumbling and fumbling. Well, yet to be seen. I think it's a little easy to read from a teleprompter as opposed to what President Trump is forced to do each day, his live Q&As with reporters, unscripted, not on a teleprompter. In fact, many people think that President Trump is best when he doesn't have a teleprompter in front of him, and he kind of ignores it anyway. But there you have it. Last night, and we're going to talk a little bit about the speech. Here's the headline from the Associated Press this morning. Biden vows to defeat Trump and U.S. what he called season of darkness. He said, here and now, I give you my word. If you entrust me with the presidency, I will draw on the best of us, not the worst. After 4 days of constant bashing of Trump and mistruths, I'm being kind there, about President Trump and what he has done and not done, he says, Biden says last night, I will draw on the best of us, not the worst. I'll be an ally of the light, not the darkness. Make no mistake, united we can and will overcome the season of darkness in America. I want to talk about a lot of this morning. In part of his speech last night, former Vice President Biden says one of the big things that he's going to be able to do is the morning after he's elected, he's going to deal with the coronavirus. Here's what he had to say. Cut two.
As president, the first step I will take will be to get control of the virus that has ruined so many lives. Because I understand something this president hasn't from the beginning. We will never get our economy back on track. We will never get our kids safely back in schools. We'll never have our lives back until we deal with this virus. We'll have a national mandate to wear a mask, not as a burden, but as a patriotic duty to protect one another.
You know, I could spend probably the rest of the show just analyzing what Joe Biden just said there. That he's going to get it under control and how the president never really understood what was going on. The president understood right from the beginning what was going on. You will remember it was President Trump who immediately stopped those flights coming in from China. And by the way, Joe Biden was critical of that. Joe Biden hopes the American people kind of forgets that. But Joe Biden called it xenophobic for the president to stop those flights from coming in from China. And by the way, you know, the contradictions are absolutely amazing. So Joe Biden, back several months ago, criticizing President Trump for stopping those flights, starting to curtail. What he doesn't tell you is even Dr. Fauci has praised Trump for moving so quickly. Dr. Fauci has said President Trump did everything that we, the medical experts, asked him to do. Remember, it is President Trump that has been praised and was praised by Governor Newsom, Democrat of California, by Governor Cuomo, Democrat of New York, for doing everything that he did to help out the states in the early going of all of this. They praised him. In fact, it's the subject of a new ad that's come out from the Republicans this week. And there you have it, that little bit right at the end there. You heard what Joe Biden's going to do. He's going to put in place a national mask-wearing mandate. That will end it, he says. Everybody wearing a mask, that will put a stop to the virus. And with regards to the economy, it's because of the steps that were put in place to stop the virus that everybody knows. President Trump can't be blamed for what's happened to the economy. In order to put things in place to deal with the virus, things had to be shut down. Now it is the president who has been out there advocating, let's open things back up. Let's get people back to work, which the Democrats have been fighting that move. It is the president who has been saying, let's go out there, let's open up our schools once again. But the teachers' unions, who are the friends of the Democrats, have been saying, oh no, let's not do that. I want to play you a couple of cuts of assessments being made of the speech last night and the speeches all through the week from these Democrats. I thought one from Laura Ingraham was just excellent last night. She came on after it was all wrapped up. Have a listen to what she has to say in her assessment of what the Democrats have been pushing over the last week. Cut 13.
No matter how much Team Biden tries to hide the ball, they know he'll kill the fracking industry, he'll destroy what's left of the steel industry when he lifts Trump's trade tariffs on China. They know a Biden presidency will export good-paying jobs and import more crime and cheap labor. Now, when you wrap your mind around that, suddenly Joe and Jilly's 45-year love affair becomes a lot less endearing or less relevant. They threw the word dignity around a lot tonight and over the past four nights. But tonight I'm going to ask you, where's the dignity in taking an American's job and shipping it to China? Where's the dignity in rewarding the lawlessness in sanctuary cities? Where's the dignity in seeing Americans left defenseless when police are defunded? And where's the dignity and the empathy in keeping our kids out of the classroom in order to placate the teachers' unions? Where's all that compassion in remaining silent as our cities are leveled by the Democrats' most violent and cruel supporters? Answer, there is zero dignity, there's zero compassion, there is zero empathy in any of that.
You know, I was listening to an interview this morning. Vice President Pence was on for a half hour with Fox and Friends. He talked about what Democrat speakers, including the former Vice President Biden, didn't say last night. It's really interesting. They didn't talk about the violence that's occurring in the streets of Democrat-controlled cities. They didn't talk about that because they didn't want it to offend the Black Lives Matter mobs that are out there looting stores, shutting down businesses, many for good. Seattle boarded up. New York boarded up. They didn't talk about the move in all of these Democrat cities to defund police departments in the midst of all of this. Police departments reporting that they've never seen the rate of retirement requests in these cities. It's almost laughable, too. Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, the Democrat mayor of Chicago, she was out defending yesterday the fact that she's brought police officers to her home to protect her. All right? So she wants to defund the police departments, but she wants police officers paid for by the taxpayer to stand in front of her house to protect her. Oh, by the way, she said to protect her and her wife because she's a lesbian. This is the kind of thing that's going on, folks. And Joe Biden has the audacity to say he's going to end the U.S. season of darkness. There's a reason why they didn't want to talk about the violence that's going on in all these Democrat-controlled cities. Because they don't want to offend those mobsters, those domestic terrorists. And do you think if the country was to elect Joe Biden, do you actually think that these Marxists would end their campaigns? Barack Obama the other day in his speech saying that it was terrible that President Trump sent in the troops to go after the peaceful protesters. That was a bold-faced lie. President Trump sent in troops to protect a federal building in Portland. That was the extent of it. All right. Also wanted to play you an assessment, a report card that Steve Scalise, Congressman Steve Scalise, gave on Joe Biden's record. It's cut number 15.
First of all, I guess you could give an M for misleading because there were so many points in there where they just left out key facts. I mean, Joe Biden literally said that he won't let Russia interfere with the elections under his watch. It was under the Obama-Biden administration where Russia tried to interfere with the elections. In fact, it was an FBI official under the Obama administration and Biden administration who just pled guilty a few days ago to trying to spy on the Trump campaign. All this happened under Joe Biden's watch. And by the way, it's been Donald Trump's leadership that did the travel ban on China, stopping flights from coming in from China. Joe Biden said he was against that. Joe Biden criticized President Trump, who led and said, we're going to ban flights coming in from Europe to stop the flow of COVID. Dr. Fauci, by the way, testified under oath that President Trump's decisions were the right decisions, and President Trump's decisions saved American lives. Joe Biden would not have saved those American lives.
Also wanted to play you a little bit. One of the speakers last night was Senator Chris Coons, Democrat, and he's a fellow Democrat from Delaware. And he said Joe Biden is a man of faith. Cut number 9.
Time and again, I've seen him stop everything and listen, really listen, to someone who needs a shoulder to cry on or a partner in prayer. That compassion, that empathy is part of his character. More than anything, Joe's a man of faith and conscience. He'll be a president for Americans of all faiths, as well as people of conscience who practice no particular faith. Joe's faith is really about our future, about a world with less suffering and more justice.
Yeah, Joe Biden's faith, obviously, whatever that is, everybody is a person of faith, folks. You put faith in something. That's a very hollow phrase. But Joe Biden's faith that Senator Coons likes to talk about includes the endless slaughter of unborn babies. That's Joe Biden's faith. Remember, during the Joe Biden, Barack Obama years, the 8 years, how much they celebrated the legalization of homosexual marriage. Remember, they lit up the White House in rainbow colors? They celebrated that? The last time I looked, God is certainly not approving of that. In fact, the mention of God, a couple of the caucus meetings during this this week of Democrat meetings, a couple of those caucus meetings run by Muslims and run by homosexual activists, when they said the Pledge of Allegiance, they removed under God. So you can talk about faith all you want, but there's only one faith that counts with the God of this universe. And I'm not sure that the Democrats understand that at all. All right, much more ahead here on Sandy Rios in the Morning, this Friday edition. I'm going to talk more about the coronavirus and someone that is quite skeptical about where the Democrats and others on the left want to take this country and how they want to use the coronavirus pandemic. Back right after the break.
The heartbeat of life translates into every language. When an expectant mom in crisis hears her baby's heartbeat on ultrasound and sees her baby in the womb, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free heartbeats for moms in crisis in the USA. And they're the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. When a mother chooses life, preborn centers are there to help with the baby's needs, counseling, and so much more. And those services are provided free of charge. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say the keyword baby.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Joe Simons, Chairman of the Federal Trade Commission. The principal mission of his office is to enforce civil U.S. antitrust law and to promote consumer protection in this country. 1 Timothy 1:8 reminds us of the value of laws. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Joe Simons as he leads the U.S. Federal Trade Commission. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
Jake Tapper prides himself in being the straight news guy at CNN, but in truth, he's just like the rest of the fake news crowd, infected with Trump derangement syndrome. The other day, he was interviewing former Republican Congressman Charlie Dent, now a Biden supporter. Tapper was enraged because Republicans had picked Marjorie Greene in Georgia and Laura Loomer in Florida as congressional candidates. Tapper called them bigots, and then he turned his wrath on the Republican Party at large.
Is it possible that the Republican Party is now the party of deranged bigots and there isn't a place in it any longer for a Charlie Dent?
Jake Tapper's verbal assault is nothing new. Trump supporters have been called dregs of society, racist, xenophobes, and of course, how can we forget Hillary Clinton's infamous charge that we're all just a basket of deplorables? Sticks and stones, America. Sticks and stones. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to the Friday edition of Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Back a few days ago, someone sent me a new poll which reveals Americans have a widely overstated view of COVID-19's impact. The poll question said this: how many people, they asked people, how many people in your country, the United States, have had COVID-19? Americans answered that 20% of the population has had COVID-19. By the way, that translates to 66 million Americans. You know, reality is only 1% have had it. 1%. They were also asked, how many people in your country have died from COVID-19? Americans answered, 9% of our population. That's 29.5 million people. The reality, 0.04%. Slightly more than that since this poll was done a couple of weeks ago. Why is it that so many Americans have this impression of millions and millions and millions, tens of millions of people, of cases, And almost, they believe, almost 30 million Americans have died. When we know that the facts of this are just so far removed from that. Well, our guest this morning is someone who has been trying to keep the record straight on all of this. And we certainly welcome this morning Twyla Brace, who's president of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Twyla, welcome to the program. You're a well-known voice here at American Family Radio.
Thanks, Fred. I'm glad to be here.
All right. It's good to have you. I wanted to play you a little bit of Joe Biden's speech last night because he says he's come up with a solution for the coronavirus. Let's hear what he has to say. Cut number three.
We'll have a national mandate to wear a mask, not as a burden, but as a patriotic duty to protect one another.
All right, Twyla, patriotic duty. Every American needs to wear a mask. He doesn't say for how long, but if you wear a mask, you're a patriot, Twyla.
Well, no. So the thing about masks, there's several things about masks. For one, I think that some people have said, you know, the mask is just a silly thing, but I think it's a very serious thing. And I think that the government that can put a barrier between you and the air that you breathe is a government that can do all sorts of things in the name of public health. And they are setting a precedent today about what they can tell you to do in the name of public health. And too many people are taking it and doing it. And so I can hear your listeners thinking, but they protect us, right? And so studies show that cloth masks have 97% penetration. In other words, 97% of things pass through the cloth mask, one way and the other, whether you're breathing out or whether you're breathing in. And so, you know, there's no scientific evidence that masks help you. Boxes that people's that masks are sold in say that these masks will never protect you against a virus because a virus is so small. And scientists will also point to the fact that it's not useful for source control, which means protecting others, or for PPE, which is personal protective equipment, so protecting yourself. And so as Dr. Michael Osterholm said in one of his interviews, he's an epidemiologist, he said people are acting on emotion. They're not acting on science. The masks are for a reason in the hospital, like, you know, to keep things from falling onto the patient, or if the patient, you know, suddenly has a spurt of blood, to keep that blood from going into your face and your nose. But they're not for viruses.
You know, sometimes one has to think, you know, we lost our minds, or we've shut down our brains on this. I was watching an excerpt from the DNC convention last night. Former Vice President Biden gave a speech in the parking lot of this arena there in Delaware. And they had the vehicles. It was kind of like a drive-in theater. They had people roll up with their vehicles, but they did social distancing with the cars. The cars were told to park 10 feet or so apart at least. And I thought, here is the latest example of how this country has gone nuts over this thing, parking cars 10 feet apart.
Yes, I think, you know, from my perspective, it's just about, you know, imposing control. And the next thing that comes from this is imposing a vaccine to protect others, right?
I want you to talk about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So the next thing that's coming here, because they have forced everybody to wear a mask and most people are not rising up, although we've got a new Face Freedom campaign, just so you know. We're just announcing it today. But the vaccine will be the next step. And so what you can see already emerging are the people who are saying, well, it has to be mandated. Nobody can get out of this except for a medical exemption. They're calling it a patriotic duty. They're calling it a social contract that you cannot violate to take this thing called the vaccine into your body. Now, this is so interesting about the vaccine is that coronavirus, they tried with SARS and MERS in the early 2000s to get a vaccine and never did. Coronavirus is the same virus that causes a cold. COVID-19 is just a different variation of it. And so they've never found a coronavirus for a coronavirus vaccine, a vaccine for the coronavirus. They did a study in 2012, it was announced, and they did a study with mice. And what they found with the mice, which they thought was very concerning for humans, is that when they exposed the mice that had been vaccinated to the real vaccine, to the real virus. So here are the vaccinated mice, and now they exposed them to the virus, the real thing. And they got severe illness. And so it essentially backfired. And that's what Dr. Fauci warned the U.S. Senate about the vaccine. First, he said, there's no guarantee that it will work. Second, he said, and it could backfire. And he knows what he's talking about because it was his agency that funded this research that was reported in 2012 when they said, you know, it's a concern to even try this on humans because it could make the vaccine more virulent when they're exposed to the virus.
I tell you what, you know, this is going to be the next push. And let's be honest, I mean, Republican and Democrats, this is the way they're talking, vaccine. But it's really interesting, and I know you've addressed this, Twyla, that there's been this resistance against hydroxychloroquine. And, you know, but it's interesting, you're from Minnesota, I believe. Your governor up there lifted restrictions on that the other day, who is a Democrat, by the way, the governor there, lifted the restrictions on hydroxychloroquine. So why do you think there has been resistance to move down that road when you have medical people out there that are saying this can work in combination with zinc and other things? You're a nurse, so I know you're in the medical field. Why has there been this resistance across the country, and the president has been ridiculed for even mentioning hydroxychloroquine?
Well, the only possibility really is political, because never in the history of this country has there been such a government interference between the patient and the doctor. And so this medication has been approved for 65 years by the FDA. People with lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, they use it every day. And they've used it for years. People with malaria, people in areas of the world that have malaria, you know, it's endemic for malaria, they use it to protect themselves. India, all the healthcare workers are using it prophylactically to prevent COVID-19 for themselves. And so the only reason that you can possibly come up with is that it has to be political. And whether that's political because they are just opposed to Trump, who is so supportive of it, but it doesn't make sense because they're hurting people. People, I think, are dying because they don't have access to this. But the other possibility is that they do not want the economy to bounce back before the election, because the economy is what Trump was going to be probably reelected on. So they, you know, all I can come up with is political. But at the end of the day, the decision at every state level, whether it's the governor, the board of pharmacy, whomever, is immoral, because doctors have to be able to treat their patients with whatever they think will work best, and patients have to be able to get that medication. You know, if it doesn't work, well, it doesn't work. But there's lots of things that are FDA approved for one thing, have never been FDA approved for another thing, but work great, and doctors figure out and use it. And that's what's been happening with hydroxychloroquine, never approved by the FDA for COVID-19, but working great, particularly in the early stages of COVID-19.
We're talking with Twyla Brace, president of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, and also the author of Each Day of Health Freedom Minute, heard here in American Family Radio. Twyla, what you've just been talking about is scary, because I think what you're saying is that for political reasons, we have Americans who are dying because they're being denied two things. They're being denied a possible solution to all of this, hydroxychloroquine, but also they're dying because of the, you know, they're putting faith in mass. They're dying because of government decisions with regards, I'm thinking of New York, of nursing homes, et cetera, et cetera. It's disturbing to think that for political reasons, there are certain politicians in this country that are willing to let Americans pass away to die for hopes in hopes of getting elected. We've reached a very serious point, if indeed that is true, that they're putting politics above the safety of Americans.
Well, I believe there's perhaps lots of them who really believe hydroxychloroquine doesn't work, but it doesn't matter. There's lots of medications that don't work, right? Mm-hmm. And we will never be able to prove whether somebody died or not of COVID-19 because they didn't get hydroxychloroquine, but what we do know is all of the patients who have taken it and have said publicly, even most recently, a representative maybe from New York. He took it apparently in April, and he credits it with saving his life, and he's Democrat. Another Democrat in Michigan who early on took it and credits it and President Trump for saving her life. And so there are these stories. And there are these doctors that have been using it for hundreds of patients. And so, you know, it should be available. And it is available. It's, you know, it's 65 years old. It's a very cheap medication. And it's being used in other countries. It's actually over the counter in other countries. So there's this restriction here. And we'll never know how many people, you know, died, but everybody should have had access to it. Everybody who gets COVID-19 should have access to it. So, yeah.
Now,
it's
just
a tragic thing.
It is. Twyla, you just mentioned a few moments ago you're launching a campaign today. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yes, it's called Face Freedom. So you can tell it's all about masks and how we want people's faces to be free again. And so I'll be doing a Facebook Live presentation this morning talking about it. But essentially what it is we want Face Freedom Fridays. It's Friday today, right? Face Freedom Fridays. And on Face Freedom Friday, which is every Friday, to just take a picture of you or whoever you're with without a mask and then send it around on your social network with hashtag Face Freedom. We need to move this country back to freedom of their faces, freedom to breathe, freedom to speak, all of this without a barrier, freedom to see each other's expressions, freedom to communicate. This is not a small thing that the government has done. This is a huge thing that the government has done, and we must never accept it as a legitimate use of government power. So facefreedom.org will get you to our special web page about this. But the big thing is, hashtag face freedom, a smiling, unmasked face sent around to social media on Fridays.
All right, Twyla Brace, President of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Sounds like an interesting campaign. We'll be watching for that. Thank you so much for joining us. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Fred.
All right, take care. All right, time to hear from you folks. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840. Your assessment of the Democrat convention, and also your assessment of what we've been talking about with Twyla. Now, you heard there, former Vice President Biden last night as part of his speech. He's talked about this before, then he walked it back a little bit about a national mask mandate. Now, last night he repeated again, as you just heard, that he would force, under the guise of you've got to be a patriot, he would force Americans, everyone, to wear a mask. Talk about government control. And as Twyla Brace and others have said, what next? If you can force people to wear a mask, what else can you force people to do? Force people to take a vaccine? 888-589-8840 is the number to call. 888-589-8840. Your assessment of all of this here on Sandy Rios in the Morning on a Friday. Fred Jackson sitting in. We'll take a little break, and we'll be back to hear from you.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
Today I want to talk about America's Middle East strategy.
there hasn't really been a clear, articulate strategy in the Middle East that is convincing to me. And one that should be focused on more, should be really the primary goal in the Middle East, is to protect Israel.
Saturday afternoon at 2:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Help us, Lord, as the church, and help us as a nation to put
May
you first.
May you be glorified, Lord.
Let our nation
May
give
you
grace,
draw our
mercy,
country.
And peace.
I pray, God, that this would be a prosperous year for us, oh God.
This year promises to be critical in the life of our nation. That's why AFA has created the 20 Prayers for 2020 Prayer Guide. You can purchase them in sets of 10, and if you buy more, you'll save more. Get yours today at afastore.net so we can use the Word of God as we pray for our nation in 2020.
Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. One morning, Elisha's young servant went out first thing and saw the Syrian army surrounding Elisha's hometown. The servant was racked with fear and cried out to Elisha, What will we do? Elisha said, Don't be afraid. There are more with us than are with them. Then Elisha prayed, Lord, open this young man's eyes. The servant then saw the mountain full of horses and chariots of fire. As opposition mounts in our lives, fear not. The Lord who is in us and with us is greater than the hostility present in the world.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Here's an excerpt from a column in National Review written by an American woman. American men, they're the kindest, most decent, most loving men there are. They treat you like a human being in a free, natural way. Alexis de Tocqueville wrote that a young American woman could make a long trip alone in perfect security. Woe to anyone who touched her. During a snowstorm one year, two young men at a Pennsylvania bus station helped me cross the icy parking lot with my luggage and then stood near me under the awning, talking to each other about frontier history. I realized I didn't have to worry. They had no notion of a right to either hurt me or drive me away. I've written the Boy to Man book to produce more American young men just like this. Order your copy today at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. You'd never know from former Vice President Joe Biden's acceptance speech last night that, if elected, his single most important foreign policy, national security, economic, and public health problem would be the Chinese Communist Party. Evidently, he'd rather not talk about it. But voters are entitled to know, what would Joe Biden do about the existential threat to freedom posed by the CCP, of which its virus is just one, albeit devastating, example? Does he even see communist China as a threat, let alone history's greatest one? Or is he still in the come on, man mode, downplaying, if not actually dismissing, the mortal danger we face from the PRC? Donald Trump is, as he should be, going to make his huge differences with Joe Biden on China a centerpiece of the 2020 campaign now getting underway in earnest. Bring it on. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. We're going to go to our phones at 888-589-8840 in just a moment. You know, we've been talking about in the last few minutes, Twyla Brace, about the impact of government decisions on how to handle this. And, of course, one of the big stories has been particularly in California, Nevada, in that the Democrat-controlled governments in those states going after churches. And high profile in that discussion has been the church where John MacArthur is the senior pastor, Grace Community Church there in L.A. County. Yesterday, there was another court decision in his battle to have services inside the church. The latest court decision is he certainly is allowed to do that. And yesterday on the Addisons right here on American Family Radio, they were able to talk to Pastor MacArthur about that and the ongoing battle that he is facing with some politicians in that state. just to meet and worship as a church. Cut 8.
The fine was removed by the judge.
Okay.
And the judge also said that you can't go through any process that would put on them any court order for the coming Sunday. And he said, you are the only church in California who can meet indoors freely. So they have tried three times in court to shut us down. And after the third time, the judge even asked the lawyer from the county, why are you doing this? You're back with the same request, and it's not granted. There is no contempt of court because there is no standing court order. And you can't add one between now and next Sunday. So the church can meet this coming Sunday. This thing is changing every time we turn around.
Wow. Yeah, and really the battle there, as Pastor MacArthur was pointing out in that interview with the Addisons, it's a great interview, by the way, is that what they're facing is opposition from the politicians. It's the politicians that are the problem. It's the politicians that are arguing that it's okay for abortion clinics to be open in California. It's okay for the liquor stores to be open in California. In Nevada, it's okay for the gambling casinos to be at 50% capacity. But when it comes to churches, no, we're not going to allow that. But yesterday, there is that court decision which will allow at least for this Sunday for John MacArthur's church to meet once again inside. He was saying as part of the interview yesterday, too, last Sunday was the first time they were able to do Sunday school. He said they had about 1,000 kids there. And I tell you what, churches across the country are facing this, but we have high praise for Pastor MacArthur for the stand that he is taking out there. And he's willing to do the battle for this. He says, you know what? When it comes to worship, that is a command from God. Now, every church has to make their own decision on this. And I know there are even strong evangelical pastors who disagree with that. But I appreciate what Pastor MacArthur is doing for his flock, providing an opportunity for them to worship the Lord, bring the kids in, and do what is necessary. All right. Your thoughts on all of this? Let's go to our phones, 888-589-8840, the number to call. And let's go first to Arkansas this morning. We say good morning to Eric. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Fred.
Hi.
Appreciate you, everything that you do. I'm a retired Marine. I've got before I went in the Marines, I was pre-med and heavy science background. The vaccines, my understanding is that almost every company that is developing them have been using fetal tissue to create the vaccines. And, you know, there used to be an uproar about fetal tissue being used for developing anything in the medical field, and it just seems like it's kind of dropped off the radar. Is anybody saying anything about that anymore?
Yeah, Eric, appreciate that. People have been talking about it. I had not heard what Eric was just telling us there, is that all of the ones being tested, and there are several of these vaccines in various stages of testing, that they all contain fetal tissue. I had not heard that, so I cannot confirm that. However, what I have heard is that it is possible, and that you ought to be asking that question when and if a vaccine for wide distribution is finally approved. And our caller is exactly right. Certainly there have been cases, there have been vaccines where fetal tissue, aborted babies' tissue, is being used as one of the ingredients inside these vaccines. So it's one of those things where you're going to have to be vigilant about it. And when they make that announcement at some point, that is one thing that you're going to want to check. Of course, as we just heard, we were talking with Twyla Brace, and I think what Joe Biden would probably want to do, because he's still talking about mask mandates, how about when a vaccine is approved, are we going to face a kind of government enforced, everybody must have a vaccine? So there may be some very, very difficult decisions ahead, particularly in this matter of vaccines and the ingredients that are used in some of these vaccines. All right. To North Carolina, we say good morning to Dot. Welcome to the program, Dot.
Well, good morning. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, thank you, Fred. Actually, I'm kind of going back to make a statement about the government allowing deaths, the lady you were talking to earlier, mm-hmm. by mandating masks mm-hmm. and taking off hydroxychloroquine. I also feel that the governments more in the cities or the states are allowing too much rioting.
Mm-hmm.
And all the stuff that's taking lives in those areas just because they are not backing their police.
Yeah.
It's something
it is,
to think about.
It is hard to believe, Dot. You're exactly right. And we've seen this going back to the setup of that zone in Seattle. You will remember that the mayor of Seattle held the police back while they knew there was violence and looting going on. And it wasn't until there were at least one murder, maybe two, inside the so-called chop zone, that's what they called it, that she finally allowed the police to go in and clear the place out. But yeah, this is happening. Of course, we've seen the video. Many people have watched the video of that brutal attack against this young man in Portland, Oregon, last Sunday evening, I believe it was. And fortunately, he's out of the hospital now. He's going to be okay. But brutally attacked. And the guy they're looking for, are you ready for this? He's been on Facebook in the last 24 hours asking people to send him money for his defense. The cops are still looking for him. But he was seen, and you saw that what he did. He came up and kicked that young man in the head, and the young man went unconscious. And later the police arrived to take him to hospital. But this is the kind of thing that's going on. And as we pointed out off the top of the show, these Democrats over the last 4 days, not a mention of the violence that's occurring in these Democrat-controlled cities. I find that pretty disgusting. All right, we'll head to Arkansas once again, and Roger is on the line. Roger, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. About these masks, I was a Vietnam veteran. And going through a boot camp, you had to go through a gas school. And everybody got a mask, and they put you in a room, and they put tear gas in there. Well, a lot of those boys didn't get that mask on just right, and they come out of there puking and snotting and carrying on. So you tell me that them little old cloth mask is going to keep something out when a good rubber-type mask didn't keep out gas. How's it going to keep out COVID-19?
Yeah. Well, that's what our guest a while ago, Roger, was saying. Twyla Brace, who is a nurse, a registered nurse, she's saying people don't understand that little piece of cloth is somehow going to keep everything out or vice versa, keep everything in that you may have. So it's just one of those things that's being put out there. And the idea, once again, of former Vice President Biden repeating again last night that he would bring in a national mandatory mask-wearing policy. He believes that would end the coronavirus. That has a lot of people worried because it means more and more government control. To Steve in Arkansas. Go ahead, Steve.
Good morning, Fred. I kind of got a laugh out of the former guy because I was a tear gas room army guy myself. But to the point, history lesson. Okay, in World War II, when Adolf Hitler forced all the Jews to wear yellow stars to identify them, then King Olaf stood up and said, "Attention, subjects! Let everybody in the country wear yellow stars." Now, I'm not saying it's going to come to that, but maybe we should designate American Family Radio as the new American Family Radio. And as for me, I'll trust in King Jesus to show me what to do. You have a good day.
All right, Steve. Yeah, it's a tough one, folks, because a little earlier this week, there was a story in Christian Post of 2,700 evangelicals. Here was the headline, 2,700 evangelicals warn against politicizing coronavirus, urge Christians to take vaccine. So you can see, even inside the evangelical community, which for the most part, fairly conservative in their political points of view, there's even a divide inside of there. So this discussion is going to continue. And I do believe that we are headed towards when a vaccine is finally approved, The big question is going to be, is there going to be a public policy? Are there going to be directives, either from the federal government, state governments, whatever the case may be, that you must take this vaccine? Are businesses going to make it a condition of employment that you must have the vaccine? Hospital staff, medical staff, are they going to be forced to take the vaccine or be told you can't work in this place? This is part, and make very clear, there is an agenda out there, a Marxist agenda of control. This is a belief that many people have, that this is an opportunity being used by the radical socialist to give the government more control, not only over this particular subject, but when it comes to a disease, but control over everybody's lives and every facet of their lives. All right, back to our phones. A couple more calls. Sherry in Texas, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Fred. All of this is right out of Karl Marx, right out of Karl Marx. And our churches have been under attack for decades. They infiltrated our churches, the people who support socialism. And, of course, they hate God. They don't believe in God. And Marx himself was a Satan worshiper. You need to read about his life. It is really very scary. It also explains so many things about what's going on in our government, because so many people believe that socialism will lead us to utopia. And utopia means, in Greek, no place. So it's very satanic. It's very terrible. And our country is under attack because we are the last nation, Christian nation, and we are under attack from many, many quarters.
All right, Sherry, we appreciate that. And to Sherry's point, and several others have made this point as well, that people need to be educated at least about the issues and not making decisions based on wild speculation. A lot of people still don't know that the Black Lives Matter organization, the group Black Lives Matter, their leadership, self-confessed Marxist. Now, you're still seeing in the mainstream media that these protests that you're seeing are driven by the death of George Floyd there in Minneapolis. No, they're not. They're driven by a desire for revolution in this country and to turn this country into a socialist country. So that's what really this is all about. Not a George Floyd incident in Minneapolis. It's not really about police brutality, and there's no room for that. But it's really about a fundamental change desired by many in this country to change it from the country it is into something that you would not recognize. Our caller talked about socialism. There's a way to find out what socialism is all about. It's been tried, folks, in many places, and it doesn't work. Been great to be with you today. Fred sitting in for Sandy. Sandy will be back in the chair on Monday. We pray that you'll have a great weekend and go out and make today. Make sure that you are a blessing to someone else. And stay tuned to American Family Radio for more great programming. We'll see you again soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.